Welcome to today's Cyclone Fanatic podcast. We continue our off-season, off-the-record series that is presented by the Iowa Clinic. The Iowa Clinic offers 40 different specialties. It's a five-star experience with over 250 healthcare providers around the Des Moines metro. Personally, I use the Iowa Clinic Men's Center for all of my healthcare needs. I have for well over a half decade now, and I've never once regretted it. I have a great relationship with my doctor, Dr. Nicholson, at the Ankeny location. He's been fantastic to me and my family. I know that another Cyclone Fanatic, our columnist Brent Bloom, recently took his son to the Iowa Clinic. He tweeted about it the other day. It's where he's going for a pediatrician. It's a great supporter of what we've done here at Cyclone Fanatic, and I know that you guys have responded well to them as well. So let's get on with it. As we continue to go off the record, we will today sit down with Iowa State head coach Steve Prohm to talk about the offseason, look ahead to next year's team. And Steve really enjoys, one of the things I like about going in and talking to him is he actually enjoys doing it. He looks forward to this as well. This was his idea to come in to do the podcast today. So enjoy it. Here we go. We go off the record with Steve Prohm. We're in here at the office. I saw some guys were shooting down there. The office doesn't slow down in May. You guys are still going. How's life?
Man, life's great. Life's great. Family's good. Kids are good. Just got back in from Phoenix, the conference meetings, and now getting ready for, finishing up finals this week. Guys did a good job academically, and now we're getting ready for myself personally, getting ready for the Cyclone Tailgate Tour, which is a good time. It's 2 weeks of a lot of fun, a lot of interaction with the staff here, coaches and administrators, but also just a chance to really go and be around our fan base, which is second to none.
Yeah, no, that's the truth. How was Phoenix? It seemed like the league, it was a much less confrontational. I was texting with Jamie about it just because the last like 5-6 years, it seems like there was always some realignment thing to talk about, and it seemed like everything was really positive, all the news and stuff.
Yeah, the meetings actually, were really smooth. Our meetings with the ADs were quick. Nothing of major, news, a lot of simple things, a lot of check the boxes, but it was good to get out there and, see everybody quick. And now it's time to get ready for a really good summer.
How's the team doing? Everybody healthy? Everybody doing well right now?
Yeah, everybody's great. Everybody's, they're slowly, getting out of here this week, between Monday and Friday. They're all kind of going their separate ways for the month of May, and then we'll all reconvene here, between June 2nd and June 18th. Guys come in at different times, for one reason or another, but June 11th is really our summer starting date. Mm-hmm. And so, really excited about this summer, having all guys here on campus and getting a chance to work with them and just continue to build our team. But May, though, everybody, thinks it's slow,
yeah.
But, you stay busy because recruiting's, 24/7. You've got, we tell our players to improve. We have to improve as coaches from a standpoint of watching film, going to visit with other schools for professional development. I think that's really important. My staff will go down to Atlanta May 23rd for a Nations of Coaches leadership conference that I like them to go down. Chick-fil-A sponsors, they go down there every May. So that's a team building thing that they do. And I'll be on the tailgate tour, during that time. So the assistants and staff will all go down for that. And so, but then June, then you right into camps, and then July's recruiting, and then the school year will be back around.
So what have you done in the past? You said you like to go around to different programs. Who do you like to go and check out?
I haven't personally gone places. I usually, like right now, I'm spending the time. I'm watching a lot of Michigan right now, just offensively watching them, just trying to break down a lot of their games, because I think going forward next year, just we have to do a better job of spacing the floor, playing in space, getting better ball movement. I think our perimeter will be good, or we'll have four guards on the floor at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm doing right now is I've kind of broke up different fractions between Danielle, William, you know, Neil, Coach Hobbs, of things that I want them to break down, whether it's half-court defense, underneath, out of bounds, side out of bounds, studying different programs, different teams. I'm taking most of the summer to really just watch a lot of offensive tape, starting with Michigan. You can see these folders. I got Villanova, you know, Michigan.
That's cool. I didn't know that was even part of the process.
Yeah, Davidson. And so I'll break those teams down and just see what will fit in for our personnel. Now we're going to make major changes, but
yeah,
just to tweak some things different, you know, add some things. Utah Jazz is one of the teams we'll take some time and study this summer.
Man, I don't claim to be Jay Billis or anything, but they've really surprised me.
Like, unbelievable.
I mean, when you look at their roster, I know Mitchell's like come on and been really good, but like, who would have guessed that they would be doing what they have this year?
Yeah, and then you look at how they started.
Yeah,
you know, that's a credit to, you know, Quinn Snyder and his staff. They've done an amazing job. And then Utah's a great, great basketball town from a standpoint, the way they really support Salt Lake, really supports the Jazz. Their environment's tough. Houston, I think they'll still win the series because of Paul and Harden. And,
yeah,
you know, they've done it night in, night out, but they put themselves in a tough situation because they're going to have to go win a game in Utah now.
Do you watch a lot of NBA?
You know, probably not as much as I have, and it really just because I've got a family now.
Yeah,
and,
I get it.
And so they're my number one. But I do when I get a chance. You know, I like to watch it or DVR and come back. You know, Utah, I'll just watch them through Synergy, or I'll have my managers load a lot of games onto my laptop and just get in here and kind of break their offense down. But, you know, that's what I'll do a lot in May and June. And just so – because when we work our guys out in June, it'll be a lot of – it'll be Monday, Wednesday, Friday weights, Tuesday, Thursday conditioning, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday be – one day will be skill development. One day will be a defensive workout. One day will be a shooting workout. But as we go into July, then we'll start getting into some team workouts. And that's when I want to be ready to kind of start adding some things in.
So what's the – I feel like, I mean, you've got all these talented guys coming in. I think that you really like the guys who sat out last year based off of what you said. It seems to me like the biggest challenge as a college basketball coach would be just meshing guys together. And that, I mean, doesn't that work really happen in the off season when you can't be as hands-on with them? And I guess my whole, to make a long question short, like, where do you even start once those guys get in here? How does that work?
You know, the first thing, you know, they get back, some will be back on the 4th. Some, you know, everybody comes in at different times in June based on, you know, graduation. You know, George Condon's playing with the under-18 Puerto Rico team, you know, so.
Okay, they all got their own stuff.
So they have some different stuff, but by the time everybody's here, you know, everybody should be here by the 18th. You know, but June 11th, like I said, that's kind of the trigger date for school. You know, first thing, you know, you're going to have your team meeting. You know, we'll take – I've tried to find a really good book. The last couple of years I've done a kind of a leadership council, senior staff or captains that I've met with. This year I'm going to meet with the whole team every week and just do a book. I haven't decided totally which book we're going to do yet. I've finished one that I liked. I may try to read one more to see and then pick between those two. But I want to include everybody this year because that's the one thing I think – and I'm pretty open in saying what I thought was good and what I thought was bad. It's just I didn't do a great job of getting our chemistry to where it needed to be last year. It was probably I'm going to my 8th year as a head coach. It's probably the toughest, you know, year I had of chemistry. We just couldn't get it right. And then we had a lot of factors, though, too. You can, you know, experience, inexperience, injuries, a lot of different things. But, you know, chemistries and egos at this level, that's the biggest thing you have to fight.
Correct.
And you've got the pouring of these guys from day one, once they get back here, you know, June 11th or June 18th, whenever our first team meeting is, when everybody's here, to say, hey, we're playing for Iowa State. We're playing for Iowa State. We're going to represent this program the right way. We're going to represent this university the right way. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, everyone in this room is going to benefit from that. And that's what our message is going to be all summer long.
You're hard on yourself about last year. It couldn't have helped that there wasn't a four-year guy, right? I mean, I know Donovan was a senior and you had a couple other seniors, but none of those guys had been here for that long to really develop that. And you don't this year either, to my knowledge, but it seems like you've got at least more guys who have been through the battles. I mean, like a Nick Weiler-Babb, to me, is a guy who should be able to rise to that next year.
Yeah,
is that
I was reading a book. The book I just finished reading is Chop Wood, Carry Water, and Matt actually gave it to me. I was over in his office. We were talking one day, and he gave it to me, and I read it, and there's a word in there called yada, and it says you only gain experience by going through something.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that, and it kind of hit home. And I may even, if you see it on the back of an Iowa State basketball T-shirt, yada, then you'll know what it means. It's, I think these guys had to go through this. You know, this was for a head coach, this was my first season where you kind of got punched in the face quite a few times. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think these guys had to go through this to say, all right, this is how hard you have to work. This is how hard you have to prepare. This is how you have to win on the road. This is how you can't take teams for granted. But chemistry, ego, playing for Iowa State, being selfless, playing the right way, all that stuff matters. But I think they had to go through that in order to have the success later. Tough going through it, but you got to fight like heck to get out of it. And I always said this, and I've learned this, you got to be humble through success, you got to be humble through failure too, meaning that when you do fail and you do struggle, okay, why did we struggle? Why weren't we successful? And what do I need to do to change? And that's why these folders are right here, because like I challenged our guys to get better this summer. I've got to get better this summer. We all got to grow every year, every off season. And so this summer I'll get around and meet with a couple coaches and continue to watch tape and put these guys in the best position possible for us to be successful. And I think we can. I'm excited about this group. Now, we got a lot of work to do, but these four freshmen walk in here, they need to know what we're about right away.
Yeah.
And that's what I think will be the biggest difference between last year and this year.
Yeah, that's kind of just from an outsider's perspective what I would guess too. Do you guys, your team played hard at the end of last year, though. I know that the chemistry, and you had all those injuries towards the end. But I mean, I didn't feel like you guys left much on the court in Kansas City, did you?
No, I really thought we'd win that game. I thought we for a stretch, I thought we were playing really, really well.
You were, yeah.
We get a back cut, Lindell lays it in, we go up 6 or 8. We just couldn't finish late in the year. I was really proud of the team from this standpoint that you go to Missouri. I knew that would be tough. You come home and you kind of get humbled with Milwaukee, but those guys responded in 48 hours to go win a tournament. That's not easy to do, you know, and they beat a Tulsa team that finished fourth in, the American. I think they're top 4 or 5 in the American, which the American's a very good league. And then we beat Boise who, was a top, 3 team in the Mountain West, and so we beat those teams, and then we go on, we win 9 in a row, and beat Iowa along the way. I'm always big proponent in starting well in conference play. I think you get off that great start, and I go back to, man, we're up 6 at home, 39-33 against Kansas State. Solomon hits a 3, and we just could not defend them. We just weren't good defensively. But it's always about the next game, though, too, in conference play. And Texas, man, again, we had them on the ropes.
Yeah.
We could not finish that game. Then you go to Oklahoma State, and you the guy that you would say, all right, if you got 100 guys, who do you want to shoot a free throw?
Yeah, it's Donovan.
Donovan Jackson.
Yeah.
And, he misses. That's not why we lost the game, but we're in a position to win a game. And then you go to Kansas, and you're tied with 2.5 minutes to go.
You guys played really well then.
Played really well.
Yeah.
And so it's, if you're 2-2 out of those first four, is the season go different ways? Now, we never could get Hans healthy after he got hurt right before that Maryland Eastern Shore game. He just never got back. And then obviously with Babb going down and then Solomon, that really hampered us. But, we had a couple games, Tech here, Baylor here, West Virginia here, Oklahoma here, we were terrific. West Virginia, we were tremendous. But it's not easy to win on the road. You win on the road by, with experience, with toughness. And we've got that there. We got to get better at.
Yeah, the Texas game is a stinger. even for me to think back at to that one. You're right. You got tell me a little bit about the grad transfers, or not the grad transfers, the sit out guys, Shayok and Jacobson. Transfers are fascinating to me. The sit out guys really seem to grow a lot during that year. Did you see that with those guys?
You know, it's funny. Tom Crean did one of our games.
Yep.
And I don't know if he recruited Marielle coming out of high school or just saw him play at Virginia. I don't know that part of it, but I know he did our game. And he's watching Mary Ellen shoot around and doing his workouts before, because we work him out because he's not going to play that night. And he comes to the huddle, and I had Crean, anytime you got a guy like that or whoever, if they got a chance, I'm going to let him speak to our team and throw a couple good nuggets. And he looked at Mary Ellen and he said, "Man, you've gotten better. You've got to where you can really, really shoot the basketball." Wow. Mario's put a lot of time into his game this offseason, or his sit-out year, to where he can really, really shoot the basketball. But he also gives you a guy that, hey, because, you know, you can watch a lot of these teams, and when you break them down, you start watching these games, I'm like, and you say, man, a lot of these good teams make some tough shots late in the shot clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a guy who can do that.
He can
go make a play for you. And he can play a lot of positions. You know, he played point guard in his sit-out year on the gold team. You know, red team is kind of our first group. Gold team's our second group. But he can, you know, you can play small and play him all the way at the four and play small ball with him at the four. But he can really play one through four for us if we play small. And so, but he's a guy that's won an ACC championship. He's a guy that can play on both ends of the ball. He can defend. You know, he can play on both ends, offensively and defensively. So he brings a lot of leadership, and I think the guys respect him because of his character and because of his work ethic. And then Mike, I think every program needs Mike. You know, it's just, here's what you're going to get every single day. I'm going to bring it. My effort's going to be good. My character's going to be good. My toughness is going to be good. And all he wants to do, man, is get to the NCAA tournament. And he loves Iowa State, and he wants to help Iowa State be successful. And the great thing, one thing that you talk to, you call Pat Riley, call any of these terrific general managers in NBA, or talk to college coaches that have been doing a long time. One thing that translates level to level or league to league is rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
And he averaged in 20 minutes at Nebraska, he averaged 7 rebounds. And so that's the one thing on both ends of the floor, he can really rebound. What I'd like to see him continue to do this summer is just to get to where, whether he plays the 4, whether he plays the 5, that people have to make decisions guarding him in ball screens because he can't make threes. And he's got to where I think he's a lot more confident from out there.
Oh, that's good.
You know,
that's the one thing when I look at that team next year, I have wondered, like, where is the shooting going to come from? Lindell was like a 40% three-point shooter last year, and I didn't see that coming. I think he overperformed there, which was awesome. That's good news on Shayok, like you said. What about Terrence? He seemed like a kid who got more and more confidence because he had to play more at the end of the year. What's his offseason going to be like?
Well, it's got to be full of work.
Yeah.
No question about that. But I think he's – you know, you come in as freshmen, and some of these guys, they think it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
You know, they've been great in high school, and they think it's going to be easy. And, you know, I remember him kind of telling Monte one day, hey, maybe as a freshman, man, maybe I'll get 14, 15 points a game. And, you know, then reality sets in, oh, hey, man, this is hard. And what Terrence did a great job is humbling himself down the stretch and then really putting a lot of time in. And he's starting to understand how hard he has to work on both ends of the floor, how much time he has to put in. And so I thought he had a really good spring, and now he's got to have an awesome summer of getting himself strong in the weight room, really continuing to make shots because he can make shots, but then really getting his skill level better from being able to pass, dribble, make decisions. And if he can do that, then I think he's a guy, especially if we want to spread the floor, a guy that can really help us.
The freshmen who are coming in, I guess where do you start like molding those minds? And I don't mean that, but to buy into the team culture. I just know how prominent AAU is. And if you go out and watch an AAU game or a Cap City game or any time where it's not controlled, really, it's a lot of one-on-one basketball, right? So, like, is that just through you and your coaches conversing with them? Do you rely on upperclassmen a lot? Like, what's the thought process there?
Well, I think any great team that I've coached or any great program, I think they'll say it's player-led. So it's got to start internally with those players. First and foremost, the great thing about a couple of these guys coming in, Tyrese won a state championship.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a Naz Long infectious personality, you know, to where it's about winning. You know, Taylen comes from Simeon, who is about winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, George Conant all through the year, you know, talked about, man, you know, I want to win a state championship. I want to win a state championship. You know, Zion the same way. You know, he's his team. You know, they didn't get to state, but, you know, it was about, hey, how far of a run can we make as a team? You know, when I may send them something individually that they did well, but their response is right to where, hey, coach, but we didn't win. You know, to where I think those guys have a great mindset, you know. And the great thing about those guys coming in is they're not going to have a learning curve with each other. They all kind of have their niche. They know each other. They're from the same areas. They've communicated all year long.
Yeah.
They knew each other even before the recruiting process started. So I think we got good talent, good character, and guys that I think are a really good fit for Iowa State. And now what I told our older guys is all spring is when those guys come in here, they need to know how workouts are supposed to go, mm-hmm. how you're supposed to dress, how you're supposed to handle yourself, you know, how meetings need to be. And that's on you guys. You guys, how we finish this spring is going to dictate. So when they walk in here, they know, hey, you can't do that. You can't do that. This is how things are done. And so – you know, things can move a lot faster.
Wigginton and Lard, we're going to say that Lindell's back next year, just in a hypothetical here. But, man, as far as some of the highs that they reached on the court last year, I mean, it's a really impressive 1-2 punch, coach, when it comes to freshmen coming back as sophomores. So what do you do? What's the key to getting the most out of them in year number two?
We got to coach them harder. You know, we got to coach them harder, and they've got to have awesome summers. You know, they got to grow in every area, socially, spiritually, academically, athletically, every area. They got to grow. I told Lindell, you know, if he's back, I got to coach you harder. I got to coach you better. And I got to be on you and challenge you. And Cameron, I'm on every day about habits, habits, habits. You know, I know Cameron in and out, so I see the growth he's made. But, man, we may be only at the 35 or 40-yard line. We got 60, 65 yards to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm determined to help him get there. But his habits, they've got to be great. You know, he got to be great every day so that it can transfer, you know, in the games, you know, in the life after basketball or when he leaves here to continue to do very good things. But they're both very, very talented. They both had terrific freshman years. I mean, you look at Lindell, I think 16 points a game, 65 threes, 40% from three. Only him and Kevin Durant had those numbers.
It's incredible.
You know.
Yeah.
Cameron Lard is a freshman, you know, 14-9 in league play. And so – but now it's, all right, you came in as freshman. You had to play well for us to win last year. Okay, all eyes were on you. You're getting evaluated every single day for 30-plus minutes. Now we're going to be sophomores. Now you got some more guys around you. Now we got to start being productive and winning games. And now that's the next step.
Cameron, to me, I thought he'd be okay. I didn't know him like you do. He was better on the court than I thought he would be. Did he exceed your expectations?
Yeah, definitely as a freshman. Yeah. And even if you go talk to coaches around the league that recruited him or know him, they say, man, you guys have really done a great job with Cameron Lard, or Cameron Lard's really grown. And but those guys were freshmen.
Yeah.
You know, they were freshmen needing to play like seniors. And so hopefully this experience helped them. And like I said, it's, you know, you're going to have more pieces around all those guys. That I think will help, you know. But now it's, all right, here's step one. Now step two, we've got to take the next step.
Somebody going to knock off Kansas eventually?
It's got to happen soon. You know, obviously that's the goal. You know, I told you, shoot, I was glad they won it, you know, because selfishly, you know, the one thing internally you think about is being the one
school
to do it.
Yeah.
And so I think if you took a straw poll of our league, I mean, 1 through 10, you know, I'd be surprised if we're picked 9th or 10th next year.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. What about the non-conference schedule, all that stuff? Is that all done? Are you? Is that all shaping up completely?
Actually, Mike and I were just talking before when you were walking in. We got 2 more games to get.
Okay.
We got 2 more games to get. Our schedule's phenomenal. I mean, let alone you got 18 league games.
Well, you got
that's
Maui.
What makes our league so tough, that we were talking about this at conference meetings, is it's just the round robin.
Yeah.
You got Kansas twice, you got Texas twice, you got Oklahoma twice, you got West Virginia twice. You can't hide. You got to go on the road to all those places, and they got to come here. And then you got another chance at them in Kansas City. We go to Maui, and that field is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, Arizona, Gonzaga, Duke, Xavier, Auburn coming off a great year. San Diego State. Xavier, who am I missing? Illinois, and then us.
Yeah.
You know, Chaminade's not in it this year. I think Chaminade's taking every other year now. They're going into it every other year.
Think of the coaching lineup in that tournament.
So you got Krzyzewski, Few, you know, Underwood. You know, obviously Illinois, you know, he had a new year last year, but he's a terrific coach. You go all the way down the line. You know, Bruce Pearl.
Is that the schedule?
Did a great job.
Is that the type of schedule you want to play at Iowa State?
Yeah, I think it's perfect. I think the way we have it set up right now is perfect. You're gonna get 18 league games.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna play in a 3-team, multi-team event. You know, like Maui.
Mm-hmm.
We got Iowa. We've got Missouri this year. You know, coming here.
Is that the first game this year?
No.
Okay.
No, it won't be the. It,
not that
they moved
night.
The start date up.
Oh, okay.
And so we'll probably have a game before that.
Gotcha.
We've got Iowa at Iowa. We're here in Missouri. And then we've got the Big 12 SEC Challenge. So that's 24 of your 30-31 games right there.
It's brutal.
All high major games.
Yeah. Well, and then you always have you and I or Drake.
Yep. And so.
Neutral court.
Yep. And so. And, you know, Drake, you know, Nico did a great job last year. And Darren, I'm sure, is going to be able to continue it or raise it.
That's a good hire.
Even and further. And I don't know. I'll probably meet him for the first time tomorrow night at the Coaches vs. Cancer.
Good guy. You'll like him.
Function. But Ben is obviously one of the best coaches in the country. So he does a terrific job over there.
So I've watched a lot more NBA the last year, probably year and a half. I guess the one thing I would kind of compare it to with this round robin is when you watch these playoff series, about game like 4 or 5, like it gets really chippy and the guys are just – there's so much familiarity between the two. That kind of reminds me of the Big 12 schedule, just in the sense that it's like these guys have played each other so much, especially if they've been there for more than a year or two because of it. And I almost feel like the games are more physical because of that.
Yeah, you can ask any referee – what's the toughest league in the country to ref, to officiate? And 9 times out of 10, they're going to say the Big 12. And when I first got here, you know, you look and you say, man, the Big 12 is great. Well, the ACC is great. The Pac-12 is great. The Big East is great. When Bob Huggins sat in the first coaches meeting and said, guys, I'm just telling you right now, this is the best league I've ever coached in. That's when you sit back and say, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then the referees comment, this is the toughest league to officiate because of the pace, because of the styles, because of the coaching. You know, 4 out of the last 5 years, best league in the country, number one RPI. This past year, you know, 4 out of the 8 college game days on Big 12 campuses. Best viewership on ESPN, our league,
mm-hmm.
You know, out of any conference. You know, highest rated championship game, Big 12, you know, best ratings, Big 12 tournament this year. You know, our league basketball's, it's off the charts good. And it's, and you look at the elder statesmen, I mean, Self, Huggins, Kruger. I mean, I think 3 of those guys are top 10 all in active wins right now.
It's crazy.
You know.
Well, and then you're going to places that care. You know?
Yep.
And even the ones that, like, used to not be very good, like Tech and TCU, are now ascended to the top, towards the top of the league.
Yeah, Chris is he had a phenomenal team last year, and he's a great coach and is doing a terrific job. And then Jamie, everybody knows his track record at Pitt and then now at TCU. But, you know, everybody's good, and there's no bottom. You're going to have somebody finish 8th, 9th, 10th place, but there's no bottom.
So I need to, before we wrap this up, I wanted to talk about your big reunion that's coming up. And then I got to get some Kirk Cousins analysis from you. He's now the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. And
I'm excited about Alex Smith.
See, but you used to, like, talk about how great Cousins was. And now
– he chose to leave.
Yeah, but, like, let's be objective here, okay? Like, just because he left your team doesn't mean that he sucks now.
I agree.
But you're, like, he signs with the Vikings, and you're all like, oh, have fun. Have fun going 8-8. He's better than Case Keenum.
He is. He is. He's obviously very good.
Are you just bitter that he?
No, because I'm excited about Alex Smith. I think we got a gem in Alex Smith.
Really?
I think he did an unbelievable job in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I think he's a great leader.
I think he's underappreciated. I'll give you
no
that.
No question. I think he's a very underappreciated, undervalued quarterback that I think will be able to win over our locker room. And hopefully they can get to 10 wins and we can play
10 wins
in the NFC Championship.
I would love that.
It'd be great.
Go up to Minneapolis.
We'll go to RFK. Well, I wish we still played in RFK. Go to FedEx Field. I'll probably be busy at that time.
Man, I don't want to – I can't handle another NFC title game at an NFC stadium.
Yeah, I felt bad for you.
Oh, that was brutal. We had the week before, and I had a bad feeling after the miracle that – probably is not going to get much better than this.
Yeah. How about that other game, though, man? That was unbelievable.
Oh, the Patriots?
The Saints.
Oh, the Saints one. Yeah. I still can't believe it.
You know.
I was done, man. Like, I was done. Like, I wasn't even watching the game. And that thing happened. And I told my wife, and I don't feel bad about this, and she understood. I said, second best moment of my life. My daughter being born. That one, and then the wedding. Like it
really?
Yeah, it was better than the wedding. She was okay with that.
The power went out at our wedding.
Did it really?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, I don't, man.
Like in the church?
No, in the reception. So
what happened? Like, so I it just got pitch dark?
Yeah, and then they had a couple. So my buddy, he sang the song. We danced to the first song he sang. You know,
my buddy, so you guys made,
he put his cell phone out and put the cell phone up and we danced.
How long was the power out?
Just a little bit, but it was out. It went out.
Did you guys get married in Murray?
No, actually in Paducah, about 40 minutes away. So we got married at a church in Paducah and then had the reception, everything up there.
I know you love it up here. Do you ever miss just being in the South though? I love the South. My mom's from South Carolina, so like I've grown up a lot down that area. It's really cool area.
You know, Kentucky to me is kind of middle ground. You got a little bit of both. But obviously, I went to college, you know, in the South. I went to high school in the South, and you know, I told somebody this a while back. It's you know, you probably 10, 15 years ago, you'd always thought, you know, hey, I'm going to get a job in the South. Man, I'm at a special place, man. I know what this place is about. I think I'm a good fit for this, for what this place is about. I love the people. I love how much they support, you know, obviously basketball because I'm a basketball coach, but just the way they support. Like, we're coming home yesterday, flying home, Matt and I, Callie and her husband, and then Coach Finley, and Matt and I are just sitting in the airport talking, and I mean, left and right, these people are just coming up, man. Hey, you know, great to meet you guys. Can we get a picture? This lady, one lady, she named her son Ames. Her and her husband met here, and they named their first child Ames. And so, like, everywhere I go to travel, I was in Huntsville, Alabama 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to the airport at 5:30 in the morning, and this guy just hollers out, Coach! I was like, hey. He's like, I'm from Carroll, Iowa.
Oh, nice.
And I'm down here working on electric something. And so the fan base here is just very passionate and really, really appreciative. And it's like when we won the Big 12 tournament, you know, the year before, Coach Hobbs spent a lot of time at Kentucky. And we walked out of that arena that night after we were the last two walking out just to get on the bus. And he was like, he said to me, he goes, man, I've been at Kentucky. I was at Kentucky for, I can't remember, 7, 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, that's special.
Oh, yeah. When the Sprint Center is like that, it's incredible.
He was like, yeah, that was impressive.
There are a few. Did you play Kansas that year?
Not there. No, okay. They got upset. TCU upset.
Yeah, you're right.
And we beat TCU.
There are a few. Well, just the Big 12 tournament in general, when Iowa State fans are there, it's insane. When Iowa State and Kansas meet in that place, I mean, there are few experiences like it.
Yeah, yeah. I would love, in a perfect world, I mean, you'd love to play them in a championship game there.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
The one thing that'll probably always haunt me is the Purdue game, because it would have been great playing them in a Sweet 16.
Oh, there, yeah.
You know, but, you know.
Man, I tell you, I watched that game a couple months ago.
The Purdue game?
Yeah. I keep, like, games on my DVR, and then, like, if ever I'm, like, sick or anything, I watch that game, and that Burton dunk is still just unbelievable.
I hate it, because I thought that team, and you probably could, a lot of coaches probably tell you this, I thought that team was playing as good as anybody at the time.
Oh, you were.
I mean, we just got off to such a bad start, and then we just probably should have played Burton at the five the whole game.
Yeah.
You know, just to spread them out and make them match up with us. And they played really well in the first half. And then we got it. I can't remember now. Did we take the lead late by one and then
they hit
the three?
You came back and you got the lead by one. Then they hit the three on the left wing.
And that was – I mean, if they missed that, you got it.
Well, when you guys came back and took the lead, I remember – I'm like, there's no way they lose now.
Yeah.
Because you were down how many points? Like 15?
Yeah,
16?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But – you know, but that that one was tough, because, you know, I think everybody would like to see that Sweet 16 game.
Yeah. Well, maybe some other time.
Yep.
Maybe this year. So, you've got your big reunion coming up.
Yep.
And do you think it'll be bigger this year?
I do. I think so.
That the word's out?
I think so. I hope so. I think the players really appreciated it. Lindsay and her staff did an amazing job. It was an awesome weekend. It's like my favorite. I tell people all the time, senior night and reunion weekend is really my two favorite times, because you can just sit back and watch people celebrate and enjoy that moment, just of guys being happy and the memories and the moments that they share. And so I do. We had about 100 last year. I hope we can get to about 150 this year. We're honoring Tim Floyd and the 1996, the last Big 8 championship team last year, the Big 8.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to get all his team back for that. And Floyd will be back. We've already got that all set up with him. And so it'll be good. You know, he just retired too.
Yeah.
So it'll be good to get him back on campus. And
I was really wanting you guys to play them down in Florida last year.
Yeah.
Or where were we at last year? Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, Myrtle Beach.
I was just wanting, just because it would have been fun to see Coach on the other side.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how things work. I mean, they're up. They're beating Boise with 5 minutes to go by, like, double figures.
They were.
They lose, and then they lose all three games of that tournament, I think. But, you know, it's great. I've known him for a while now. Played against him when I was at Murray, when he was at UTEP. We played in the NIT my last year. But I think he's really appreciative about coming back and really excited about it. And I've talked to several of his players, Dedrick and JC. I got to keep calling and staying on those guys. But I do. I think we'll have a great turnout. It's a lot of fun. It's the same format that we've kind of did. You know, it's, you know, dinner, reception and dinner on Friday night, August the 3rd. And then on the 4th, it's golf, pickup, and then a social that night.
So what's the pickup game like?
You know what? You never know how they're going to be. Man, they were great. Man, we had four teams of about 8 to 10 guys per team. We ran halves, so we didn't, in the practice facility, if you've ever been in it, for people on listening on air, if you've ever been in our practice facility, instead of running full court, we ran halves. We ran sideways. And, you know, we played like a tournament. You know, it was winner, winner, loser, loser, and we got a champion. And, I mean, those guys, I mean.
They're still going?
They played hard. I was walking around, and there was a ton of people. That was the best thing, that you walk in there, and this place was packed. I mean, you got 20 guys out there playing at the same time, and then you got 30 more players on the outside, and then you just got some fans kind of trickled in. I mean, it was, you know, I shouldn't say fans. It was more family because it was kind of a closed deal. But it was an awesome.
You could sell tickets to that. You
know? You could.
You'd fill this place up.
Yeah, it would. It was really cool. And so, and then, you know, I'm trying to see this summer. I've got to check and make sure we can do it. What I'd like to do the last week of July is get a lot of the pros back, like a Niang, a Morris, you know, Matt, Deontay, Naz, you know, Nader, whoever it may be, just some of the Melvin, whoever it may be, try to get 5 to 8 of them back the last week of July as it leads into the reunion and just be around our guys.
That'd be awesome.
Work out with them, play pickup with them. I got to make sure compliance-wise we can do all that, but I just like to call it Pro Week and just get those guys back and take care of those guys and get them around our guys, because that's the biggest thing. Like I always said, you know, you'll replace talent, but replacing what those guys are about, the culture, the playing for Iowa State, what it means, you know, like when we're winning that championship, Naz is just walking around the arena sticking his jersey out, you know, it's about Iowa State. It's about Iowa State. And that's the biggest thing is we've got to get back to what I expect it to be and what you expect it to be and what every one of these fans expect it to be. And that's doing things the right way, but just and competing at a high, high level.
I feel like that's a good spot to end it on. Anything else you got going on?
That's it, man. That's it. You know, ready to
– You a Kentucky Derby fan?
You know, I had no idea until I moved to Kentucky how big of a deal that thing was.
Yeah, it's a big
deal. And when I got there, because I went there, when I first moved there, it was like in April, you know, when all the coaches' jobs change. And then everybody's like, hey, come on over, man. We're having this Kentucky Derby party. I'm like, and it is a big deal. Now, I've never been to the Derby. I think my wife would like to go.
Yeah. She'd get like a crazy hat.
She would. I don't know if I can get into one of those tight suits, though, man. You know, everybody, I can't pull off.
You're not the skinny jeans type guy.
That'd be rough for me. That'd be a bad look. So, but I would, at some point I may go. I think next year I'd more try to take my dad to the Masters if I had to pick one right now.
That'd be good.
You know, that's why he's 80, just turned 81, so I'd like to do that first.
Yeah.
But my wife would like to go, so maybe at some point.
All right. Well, it was good talking to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you for your time. I know the fans will appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing all you fans on the road the next couple weeks with the Cyclone Tour. And what I do want to say to the fans, though, is, man, they were unbelievable this year through a tough season. Mm-hmm. And that just shows how resilient in the character of our fan base and how supportive they are. And so good things are ahead, and we'll reward you for that.
Well, they will continue to show up. I will promise you that.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed that off-the-record conversation with Iowa State head basketball coach Steve Prohm. Of course, it is brought to you by our good friends at the Iowa Clinic and the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. I'm proud to come on here and endorse that great company to you guys on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. We'll have more of these off-the-record conversations here over the next couple of months as we, you know, kind of count down to the 2018-19 Iowa State athletic season. But Prohm was great. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Hope you have a fantastic weekend.